I believe as we think about that song, counting your many blessings, we cannot count that high. For God has truly, truly blessed each one of us. And we shall continue to give him thanks. On this evening, I want to direct your mind into the love of a disciple. The love of a disciple. The songs that Brother Butch has picked out, several of them dealing with love. And I did not ask him to sing any songs about love. That's just the way it's working out on this evening. Even the song of encouragement, Love Lifted Me. As we think about the love that God has had for the world, by him sending his only begotten son to this earth to live, to be crucified, to be buried and raised up on the third day, we should be truly grateful, thankful for what he has done. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 3 and the verse is 16. Again, I haven't watched that much football lately. Well, I never do. I don't know why I had to say later. But you all have seen it. The individual in the or in the crowd that will hold up John 3:16, or riding behind an 18-wheeler with John 3:16 on the trailer. I truly wonder, do they really understand what that means? John 3:16. For many of them, on those football games that are on a Sunday, they're sitting in the stands. They're rooting their favorite team on. Where is God? Where is God? He didn't send his son just to be sending him. He sent his son to die for the sins of the world. The Bible states, as we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What does that mean? Believing in Christ, believing in the Son, believing and trusting in what God has done, except for to be obedient. To be obedient. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. The Great Commission. To go out into the world to teach, to baptize, and to teach. We need to understand the importance of that. And maybe that's the way of evangelizing. They go to football games to hold up that sign. They have done their part. I don't believe so. I believe that they need to reevaluate their lives and understand it is more important to come together to worship God than to go to a football game. I believe that when we come here to worship, as we set and we listen to the word of God being proclaimed, or we sing praise unto him, or we're participating in a prayer that someone is praying, or partaking of the communion, or even giving as God has allowed us to prosper, that we should never get tired of these things, but we should be excited about them. And I was sitting and I was thinking about the first time that some little girl or some little boy whispered to you, I love you. How excited did you get? But I want you to get excited about realizing that God loves you. He loves you to the point of sending his only son to die. That should excite us. That should make us have a want to serve him and to be close to him and to spend our lives serving him and be able to spend eternity with him. That should excite us. But I believe in many cases, the excitement is gone. The flame has flickered out. There's not even a puff of smoke there. It's not even smothering any longer. There's so many people that have forgot that God has loved them to send his son, that they have quit serving him. And we need to try our very best to spark that interest in them once again, to get that flame to burn just bright once again in their lives, so they may be able to tell others about this love that God has had, that they too may put Christ on through baptism and appreciate what God has done. The scripture reading once again in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. When we start thinking about God sending his son, what does God expect out of us? No one asked him to send his son, did they? Didn't have to. It's God's plan to send his son. But what does he expect out of us? What does he desire from us? He expects us and he desires for us to love. But in this loving process or learning how to love or growing to love, there are some things that we must do. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting again with verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness godliness, and with godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That's the icing on the cake. With love. Can we love the way God truly desires for us to love? He says in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, I love you. What more do you want? That's our attitude sometimes. But we want this love to grow. God wants this love to increase. He said, if these qualities are in you, they need to increase, grow. But there are times where we feel as though we know enough. We don't need anybody. We don't need anything, especially the Word of God. That's just words. What are we going to do with them? We're going to live by them. We're going to apply them to our lives. We're going to be an example to others. We're going to show them what love is really about, how to really love someone because how God has shown the world that he has loved them. This is so important. And we need to realize how important it is. First off, we need to understand that we need to love the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, we need to love the Lord. We'll start with verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 34. See, again, love is not anything that we are born knowing how to do. Love is something that we're taught. Even when people get to the age of adulthood, they need to learn how to love. Someone needs to teach them not just to love one another, but need to be taught how to love God. It says here in verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So did he get the answer he was looking for? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Love the Lord your God. Okay, yeah, I can understand that. But the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's not what they were looking for. They wanted Jesus to take one of the commandments and to take it and set it apart and say, this is the greatest commandment. This is what you need to do. But he said, love the Lord your God. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he finished up by saying, on these two commandments depend on the law and the prophets. Look at what they were taught and apply those things to your lives and you will be fine. But there are so many people today that are still looking for a loophole in serving God. Which is the greatest sin? Well, how much can I get away with? What can I do over here? What can I do over there? Do I really have to love everybody? See, there's no loophole. The Bible is very clear. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to think about this, and we need to think about how many people are running around today saying that they love God, that they love Jesus, but yet their actions are showing something totally different. Again, it's just lip service, and we do not need lip service. God does not, he does not require us, and he does not expect us to just give him lip service. He wants us to have action in the things in which we say that we're going to do. And we need to do those things. In the book of John, the chapter is 15. John, the chapter is 15. We need to understand the separation from verse 18 down through verse 27. We're not going to read all of that, but I want you to understand the separation. That we need to not love the world, but we need to love God. We don't need to participate in the things of the world, but we need to participate in the things that's going to please God. That is serving Him. That is staying away from those people in the world. We need to sever some ties. And we need to say, you know, I used to love doing those things, but now I don't love them anymore. My love is to serve God. My love is to be an example to others. My love is to get to heaven. When we figure those things out, everything will be okay. We drop down, if we would, if you look through there, to verse 22 or verse 21. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So we need to learn about Jesus Christ. We need to learn about God. And we need to understand again, going back to John 3:16, why God sent him. And we look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. Both, Jesus says. You've hated me, they have hated me and my Father. Verse 25, But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to him, to you from the Father, in the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. From the beginning, you have been with me. But I want us to look at what the Bible says in verse 23 once again. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. Hates my Father also. How many times have you heard someone say they do not like you or they hate you, and they don't realize how serious that is? When Jesus has plainly told us that we need to pray for those people that hate us, pray for those people that despitefully use us. And what this is showing, that when we pray for them, that we love them as God has sent his Son to show his love for us, for the world. Although they hated him, he still sent his Son. When his Son came, they hated him, but yet his Son still went to the cross. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. Although they hated him, he ascended into heaven. Although they hated him, he has made it possible in order for people to become members of the Lord's church to be saved. See, hatred is something terrible. Hatred is not anything, again, that we're born knowing how to do, but it's something that we're taught. The people were taught to hate. And just as people were taught to hate, they need to be taught how to love. We need to love one another. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. We look at it once again. Jesus says these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, how is someone going to know that you are his disciple, that you love them? Oh, they're treating you bad, but yet, guess what? You still need to love them. Oh, they talk all kind of crazy things about you, but you still love them. They don't understand that. You know why they don't understand that? Because they don't understand God. You know why they don't understand God? Because they don't want to go to his word. They don't want to study it. They don't want to know what God desires of them. But we have to have a love for the brethren, just as we need a love for God. And as we think about a love for the brethren, you know, sometimes we find it easy to love other members of the Lord's church. Sometimes. Sometimes it's a little difficult. But when we find it easy to love those that are doing the things that we do, those that understand the importance of assembling together, those that understand the importance of calling one another, those that understand the importance of going out and visiting, we find it easy to love them. But what about that individual that's lost? What about the one that has never come to God? Do we find it easy to love them? We talk about severing ties with them. You know, we need to sever those ties. We don't need to hang out with them. Just because you don't hang out with them doesn't mean that you can't try to convert them. We need to understand that. We need to love the lost. Why do we need to love the lost? Because God loved the lost. That's why, once again, he sent his son to die for the sins of the world. To die for the sins of the world. When we can understand that, we can understand why we need to knock on someone's door. We can understand why we need to sit down with someone and ask them as they're reading the Bible, but yet we need to ask them, do you understand what you're reading? Or we need to share with them what we have been reading and try to get them to study God's word because we have a concern for their souls. Just as we talked a little bit about this morning, Brother Theotis brought it out. Why did Jesus come? He came in order to save his people from their sins. Book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He came to seek and to save those that are lost in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And as he did those things, he gave the great commission for us to go out and to look for those people that are lost and sit down with them and study with them so that they may have a right to ask that question, what must I do in order to be saved? And when we give them that answer, allow them the time to respond. And when they're ready to respond, we're there ready to assist them. We need to love them. We need to love God. We need to love the brethren. And we need to love the lost. Well, how can we show this? How can we show our love for God? We show our love for God in our worship. When we come together, we worship him according as we have found patterns in Scripture. When we find that we are supposed to come together, not in order to entertain each other in our song, but we come together to edify one another in our song. In the book of Ephesians, the chapter 5 and the verse is 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse is 19. Because we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, but yet as we're doing this, we're here to edify one another. Ephesians 5:19, it talks about addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart, to the Lord with your heart. Singing to the Lord, making melody in your heart. And we're not here trying to see who can out-sing one another. We're here to edify one another in our song. We're here to praise God in our song. That's why we're here. But that's not the only reason we're here. We're here to partake of the communion. As Brother Butch asked, you know, who desires to take up the communion on this evening? There were some that were not here this morning. They was given that opportunity to do it this evening, to take up the communion. That's a way that we demonstrate our love for God. Given that opportunity to give back as God allows us to prosper, that's another opportunity in a way that we show our love to him. As we said and we pray to him, someone is standing praying on our behalf. That's a way to show our love to him because we're supposed to commune with him. We're supposed to communicate with him. And then we look through his word and we hear his word being proclaimed. This is what God desires. And this shows our love to him, that we're willing to go through the scriptures and preach his word without compromise, without adding to it, nor taking away from it. That is truly a love for God. And it's a love that we need to have. It's a love not only shown here among the other saints, but it's a private thing as well. We need to have private devotion time with God. We need to pray. The Bible says this morning, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. See, we need to have that time alone with God. We need to ride down the road sometime, and we need to praise God in song as we're riding down the road, thanking him for what he has done for us. He's pleased with that. But do we have it? Well, we're here right now. And people see us in this worship, in this assembly, but what happens after we leave? What happens after we leave? We all have shortcomings. We all fall short sometimes. But how much time, once again, do we spend in private with God? Our private devotion. We find that Jesus had private time alone with God. We need to have private time alone with him as well. We need to do this. In our fellowship one with another. Once again, as we come together, we come together to fellowship, Have fellowship with one another. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, considering one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, when you get ready to come to worship, do you ever think, I wonder who's going to be there today? I wonder, you know, I haven't seen such and such. I wonder, are they going to be able to assemble with us today? I wonder, are they over their sickness? I wonder, are they back in town? I wonder this about them. I wonder that about them. And when you get here and they're here, hey, we need to express our love to them, to let them know how we have missed them, how glad we are to have them with us on today, and how we're willing and waiting to fellowship God along with them as they are gathered here. But verse 25 is the verse that we really need to concentrate on with many a people. Not to express how we come together in verse 24 to consider unto love and to provoke unto love and good works, but verse 25, that we first need to assemble together. That shows our love to God. Let's make plans. You know, I was listening. I be ear hustling. Where is he at? He's over there, Brother Roland. I be ear hustling. I asked Brother Roland, so y'all going to the game? He said, yeah, we going to the game. And, of course, they went to the game, and they won, what, by 2 points in overtime? Is that what you said? Not yet. Okay, all right. Did y'all leave early? You know, think about that just for a moment. Overtime. They sat there to the end of the game. They made it back for evening worship on time. Brother Bush was talking about time the other day. And he was mentioning about the time that we spend here worshiping God. Now, if I decide, you know, I'm just saying, if I decide, I know Brother Brown is not going to decide that. If I decide to preach a little bit longer tonight, some of y'all are going to get, look, you know, Gary sitting on the front row, Gary may even get up and walk out. His grandma will take care of him later, but Gary may even get up and walk out. But the time that we spend doing things out there in the world that we love, that we love, it shows when we come here to assemble, where is our love? Where really does our love lie? When we cannot sit here for 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and if you get some one of those preachers that like to preach for 50 minutes, and we're like, man, I wish he'd hurry up. Is it the preacher that you need to be listening to? Or is it God's word? Amen. But it's the preacher that's preaching God's word, right, Brother Mark? Right. But you know what? We have things to do. My, you know, God, I know I said I love you, but you know, I have to go. And we, you know, God understands that. Amen. But you know what? As you're leaving, if something happened to you and your mind wasn't where it was supposed to, your mind wasn't loving him, your worship was unacceptable to him. Where are you going to go if you die? Where are you going to go if you die? I was, Lord, you know, that I died. I was, you know, it was a little bit after six, and I just couldn't sit there no more. Did you love him? Do you love him? See, we need to think about those things when we start talking about how much we appreciate everything that we have out there in the world. We need to appreciate how much God has given us to bring us out of the world. Amen. Our fellowship one with another. It should be accordance to God's word. We need to love him, and we need to continue to do the things that he is pleased with. And these are going to show through our evangelistic efforts. When we come together on Saturday mornings to go out there and knock doors. You know, I know that there are some people that desire to be here and they can't be here because of one reason or another. But there are some other people, again, they're not doing anything. They don't care about, you know, well, we're making it easy for you. The elders have made it easy. One of them are here with the group, and we have others to go with the group. You don't have to go by yourself. It's not like we're throwing you out there to the wolves. But there are some people that say, I just can't do that. You know, yeah, I love you, God, but that's just not my cup of tea. We're commanded to go out to teach. We're commanded to go out and to preach. What is your cup of tea? What do you really love about God? Are you really interested in him? Are you really interested in his work? Are you interested in what he has in store for you? If you're interested in that, you need to find that you need to not just be interested in it, but you need to love those things. And as you grow to love these things, you need to understand that God's love for you, it has never and never will change. He loves you. And he wants you to love him. We need to show a love not just for the people that are here, but we need to show a love for the lost. And as we show a love for the lost, we need to continue to do the things that are right. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. As we show our love for the lost, we go out and we preach and we teach God's word. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him and whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? It says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to be able to teach the word of God. We need to have a love for the word of God and a desire to go out and do the things that are right so that people may understand the importance of loving God the way he expects us to love him. The love of a disciple, is it seen in your life? Are you willing to demonstrate it? You say you have it. Are you willing to demonstrate it? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He also says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he even asked the question, why calleth me Lord and do not the things I say? Love. You know, some can say it's a terrible thing. Love can make you do some crazy things. But when we start talking about a love for God, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, there is no law against love. No law against it at all. And you can even read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it starts talking about three great things. Faith, hope, and the greatest of the three is love. You know why? Because love will never, ever have an end. We love God here and we can love him there. We have to do what's right though to get there. So let's do what we're supposed to while we're yet here. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you want to become one? That spark of love has you know, somehow is becoming to be a flame, and you want to do what is right, that opportunity is yours to come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Put him on through the water grave of baptism. Be added to the church. And then love one another. Love God, love the brethren, and love the lost. Do what is right. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're encouraging you to come back on this evening. Don't stay too long. Because there's nothing out there, and your life will end. And without God, your life is going to end in a tragedy. And we want you to understand that there's only two places where you can spend your eternity, either eternal hell or eternal heaven. The choice is yours. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.